Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now in the Bible, God has sometimes described his people, the Christian people, as being laborers in a vineyard. Sometimes they're pictured as pilgrims going through a land, or maybe members of a family, servants who are to serve God and serve others. But today in our lesson, we want to look at how God has described the Christian as a soldier. The Christian life is pictured as a warfare. It's a conflict. We have our adversary, the devil, and it's a battle between good and evil. And there are those that follow God against those who follow the ways of the devil. Now, of course, it's not a carnal warfare. It's not a fleshly warfare. It's a spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians 10 and Ephesians chapter 6. But the Lord provides his people weaponry with which to fight successfully. In Ephesians 6 and verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." And in verse 11 he had said, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now today we want to mention but one weapon that God has given, and it is identified as a sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. We've had a number of lessons lately emphasizing the importance of the Word of God and His wisdom, in contrast to that of men and men's philosophies and creeds, their speculations and doctrines. Now, every weapon that's mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 6 relates to the Word of God. There's the weapon of truth. Well, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free," John 8:32. And then there's the weapon of the gospel of peace. Why, that's the Word of God. The gospel enables us to have peace with God and peace with all others who are at peace with God. And then in Psalms 119, verse 172, "Righteousness is the commandments of God." Salvation, friend, is dependent upon the Word of God. This we have tried to stress in lesson after lesson. Now, significantly, the Word is called the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit here refers to the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Godhead. And the sword belongs to the Spirit. It's by and through the Holy Spirit that He has provided the Word. And the Holy Spirit uses that Word in the conduct of this spiritual warfare. And it is provided for man. First, it was through inspired men, but now it's in inspired scriptures. And when man uses the Word, the Bible, he's using that which deity has given. It's the sword of the Spirit. And like any sword, it's used both offensively and defensively. The sword in battle is used to advance the cause for which you're fighting. But it's also used to protect the cause that you want to defend. It's used to destroy, but also to defend. It's used to slay, but it's used to ward off the enemy. And our enemy, of course, is the devil. And Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us it's a two-edged sword. In Revelation 19 and verse 15, here's a description of Christ, and it says that out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations. The Lord uses the sword, dear people, to carry out his function and his purposes. Revelation 2 and verse 10, words were to be heard which came from the one which had a sharp sword with two edges. Now, the sword is God-breathed, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the Word reveals to us the thinking and the mind and the plan and the desires and the will of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It is His communication to man. God speaks to man, but He speaks to man by and through His Word. Now you'll please note, this Word is sharp, and it's living, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Contrary to the protest of liberals and those who don't believe the Bible as the Bible teaches itself, it's not a dead letter. It's not something which must have some kind of special, miraculous, marvelous enlightenment and life by some special visit by the Holy Spirit, as some contend. Friend, just reason with me for a moment about this idea that people have, that they have to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit before they can understand the Word. If that's true, and somebody doesn't understand the Word, it's because they haven't been enlightened. And since the enlightenment, as they contend, must come from the Holy Spirit, then man's lack of knowledge and understanding is the fault of the Holy Spirit. It's not man's fault. He's not responsible. The Holy Spirit didn't zap new like some of them talk about. Well, friend, that's just totally false. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." The Word of God is not a dead letter. We don't have to have something in addition to the Word to know what the will of God is. We don't have to have some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon us. We don't receive it, and those that claim to receive it don't receive it either. Now, we're to live by that Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Father. Matthew 4 and verse 4. All life, of course, both physical and spiritual, it came into existence by the Word of God. You go back and read from Genesis, it said, "And God said," and a little bit later on, "And it was so," it was good, just exactly as God said. How did things come into being? Why, it was by the power of the Word of God. You see, it's a living Word, and it's a living Word because it comes from a living God. It is certainly disrespectful of God to speak of His Word as being a dead letter. And sometimes people talk about the Bible as just being a mere word. Well, friend, no other word can give spiritual life except the living Word. And that's the way God has designed it. Psalms 119 says, "For thy word quickeneth," or makes me alive. No, instead of being a dead letter and in need of some sort of zapping and enlightenment from the Holy Spirit, the Word gives life. Repeatedly we read, "Quicken me according to thy word." That's another passage from the book of Psalms. The sword, you see, it's penetrating, it's convicting, it moves the heart and the mind of men. It did on the day of Pentecost. Those who heard the word that Peter preached, they were pricked in their hearts. It stirred them, it convicted them of their sins, and that they had to do something in order to be right with God. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. And it is the gospel lays bare the corrupt heart. It exposes the hypocritical conscience. And at the same time, it provides a salve to those who are spiritually wounded. It provides comfort for the brokenhearted. The Word of God is gentle. It's soothing. And yet at the same time, it's described as a hammer and a fire, indeed a burning fire. And it's powerful because it comes from the Almighty God. You see, the Word makes man clean. John 15 and 3 says, "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken." It purifies the heart. 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing you have purified your souls," how? "In obeying the truth." The truth is the Word of God. It converts the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, Psalm 19, verse 7. And the word prevents sin. You know, it's better to avoid and prevent sin than it is to have to be forgiven of it. But the word of God, the psalmist said, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The entire 119th Psalm speaks constantly of things that are accomplished by this sword of the Spirit. Nothing is more relevant than the word of God. And it is the word that sanctifies and sets us apart from our sins. Sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus said. And we're sanctified by his will, by which will we are sanctified, Hebrews 10 and verse 10. John 12:48 gives us the warning, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. James urges us, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The testimony also of my delight and my counselors, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You see, faith is produced by the word, and this is the hearing of faith, Romans 10:17. Man can understand that word. God has given it to man so he can understand it, believe it, and obey it. But we must study it. It's by the word that the Spirit operates and leads and guides man, and that's how he influences man to do the will of God. Let me illustrate. Here's a man that cuts down a tree. Well, actually, he used an axe to cut down the tree. And it can be said that the axe cut down the tree. But it also can be said that the man cut down the tree by the use of the axe. Well, the Holy Spirit uses the word to accomplish what God wants to have accomplished. Now, the Holy Spirit and the word are not the same, and they don't certainly give different messages. The Holy Spirit uses the word. The word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the tool, it's the weapon, it's the implement that the Holy Spirit uses to lead and guide and instruct me and you as to how to please God. Friend, we cannot, and indeed we will not, successfully engage the forces of error. We won't overcome that which is evil without the word of God. Now, men may rationalize, they may argue, they have their theories, their speculations, they come up with all of their denominational doctrines, they have their creeds, their feelings, things that they think they have discovered, and the pseudo-sciences and philosophies, they're not capable of providing for man what the Word provides. Only the Word of God can provide for us eternal life, and God has designed the Word to accomplish just exactly that. It is the sword of the Spirit, and it is with that sword of the Spirit that we go to war. We go to war as a soldier of the cross. We go to war to fight under the battle of Jesus Christ, who is our captain, and we give thanks and praise that God has seen fit to reveal his will to us. We're in this fight. It's a fight that will determine our eternity. But God has given us the weaponry where we can and will be successful if we will faithfully follow the sword of the Spirit. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.